It is all the words that you brought to us that certainly are applicable. And it's not only happening in education, as some of you may have seen the news today, as Keith would call it, we're back in RAV hell. And Keith Baldry reported on the 6 o'clock news that RAV is now dead. So I guess we'll tell Mr. Campbell and others from TransLink that we won a 2 out of 3. If we win a 3 out of 5, would that do it? So there's privatization everywhere we look, of course, and commercialization in post-secondary school is running rampant. As you know, and certainly some of the words that Heather Jane brought to you bring that home to us here in British Columbia, perhaps even more than they see in Ontario. I think it's important for us all to pay attention to this, and I think that our theme, that what we have tried to brand as an organization over the last couple of years, is important, because I really believe that the slogan behind me is the one that will really work, that it will be communities that will make a difference. It won't necessarily be unions. It will be a coalition of communities that will make things happen. And for that to happen, I think that we need to be progressive. And it's my pleasure tonight actually to introduce to you someone who I think is really going to make a difference in that regard. Many of you who know Carol will know that she has spent the last number of months putting herself through some pretty significant challenges. And I don't think any of us underestimate the real work that's involved in being away from your family, to putting yourself in the spotlight for those kinds of things that really will make a difference in education, but more generally in our society. Carol has been a longtime activist in her community, but for our purposes here tonight, certainly her long standing wish to have a better education system in British Columbia by her serving as a trustee, as president of the BC School Trustees Association, where I worked directly with Carol, certainly told me that she really has the will to make a difference. And she's making that difference now, as you know, as you see her in the media, appearing in communities all across this province, making sure that British Columbians bring back what we once had in this province. It is my pleasure, and please help me in joining our friend, the leader of the Democratic Party, Carol James.
Didn't tell me I got a chance to catch up with Heather Jane, who I worked with on the Canadian School Boards Association. So a real treat to be able to hear her tonight. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and for the warm welcome. I want to take a few minutes to talk about where I've seen education go under Gordon Campbell in British Columbia, although I think Heather Jane described it really well for all of us. Because when I listened to her, I heard what's going on in our province right now. But I want to start off just as Heather Jane did, to say thank you to all of you. Thank you to you as a citizen, thank you to you as a parent in British Columbia, and thank you to you as leader of the NDP for the work that you're doing in schools, in universities, and colleges around our province. Because just as we heard earlier, education is educating the future, and you are contributing to our future generation. So I want you all to give yourselves a round of applause for the work that you do. I know that public education hasn't been an easy place to be in the last 3 years, but I also want you to know that I'm working to change that. One of the best things about this job is that I do get to travel around British Columbia and work with people who are going to stop Gordon Campbell. People who are working to restore justice and compassion to our province. People like you in this room. QP has been on the front line defending the things that matter to working people, and your passion and your courage in standing up for the values that are at the core of what it means to live and work in British Columbia are an inspiration to all of us. And I look forward to the day when we don't have to have conferences on defending public education, that that will be out of place because we'll have a province that values public education and opportunities for everyone regardless of income. Right now, public education is facing a crisis in British Columbia. From K to 12 through to post-secondary and training, average British Columbians are being left out. The Liberal government came to power on a number of promises, not the least of which was to improve education. In fact, you may remember Gordon Campbell promised an education system second to none. What he's delivered on is the same old policies that got us second to last in education under successive Socred governments. But perhaps the latest crisis facing education is the new and improved pre-election Gordon Campbell. You've all seen the taxpayer-funded commercials for this new BC Liberal product. Their latest offering was unveiled at the Liberal convention just a couple of weeks ago. The new caring Gordon Campbell action figure. Finance Minister Gary Collins even introduced the new advertising jingle for the new caring Campbell. He's just a man, he said, whatever that means. I'm serious, he really did say that, Heather Jane. He's just a man. We all know that this is just a marketing makeover. And the original Gordon Campbell action figure, known to most of us as mean-spirited, still remains the same. What the BC Liberals haven't realized is it's not the packaging that bothers British Columbians. It's the Premier's values that British Columbians are refusing to buy. And the reasons are pretty straightforward if the government cared to listen. Repackaging Gordon Campbell doesn't change the fact that this Premier has just one setting, and that's attack. He's attacked seniors, children, women, and ordinary working people. This isn't the first time that we've seen the Liberal Party try and repackage the leader of the opposition. I'm sure all of us remember the plaid shirt and guitar from last time round. It's becoming sadly predictable. The only time we see this side of Gordon Campbell is at election time. Can you imagine if he'd been honest with the people of this province in 2001? If in the 2001 campaign he really told British Columbians what he was going to do? Can't you hear him saying, "Folks, I'll give it to you straight. As Liberal leader, my number one goal is to cut taxes for the richest, wealthiest British Columbians, and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay every price. I'll take on the disabled, seniors, and children. I'm going to raise your taxes and user fees. I'm going to close your schools and hospitals. I'm going to make surgical wait lists longer, tuition fees higher, and polluting the environment easier. Folks, I want to make sure that access to logs is granted with no need for local job creation. BC Ferries, he'd say, privatized. BC Rail, sold. Human Rights Commission, gone. Contracts, shredded. And can't you just hear him saying, and I'll spend your money on ads telling you what a great job I'm doing, improving the very things I'm tearing apart. The BC Liberal approach has been the same in, year out for the last 3.5 years. And education, sadly, has been at the top of the Premier's hit list. Class sizes are bigger and school board budgets are smaller. We've lost learning assistants, support staff, teachers, custodial staff, and other critical components in the education system. Over 100 elementary and secondary schools have closed in BC in the last 3.5 years. It's why the children in Wells are forced to endure a 160-kilometer commute to attend school each day. Our children lack adequate learning resources. At one school in Surrey, a school district that the Campbell government holds up as an example of their wonderful education achievements, there are 60 children in 2 grade 8 math classes that are sharing just 15 textbooks. Teacher librarians and teacher librarian assistants are disappearing from our schools, along with access to libraries for that matter. And because of this government's poor choices, children with special needs no longer have access to the same opportunities as everyone else. Under Gordon Campbell, BC now spends less money per child per year than before he took office. If the BC Liberal government is making it harder to get a good quality public education, where they're also failing is helping our children get a good post-secondary education. They've gutted this province's apprenticeship and training program at the moment when we know we face a trade shortage. Families in British Columbia have witnessed an unprecedented rise in the cost of college or university tuition. Tuition fees in 3.5 years have risen across the board by 76%. In some cases, it's as high as 300% in just 3 years. Barriers to education are barriers to opportunity. And in this 21st century economy, when we leave people behind, when we shut people out, we all lose. If the object of government is to divide, if it's to make the many pay the costs of delivering to the few, then the Premier is the right man for that job. But that's not how I view government's role, nor how I believe we can succeed. You know, as was mentioned earlier, I had the privilege of leading the BC School Trustees Association for 5 years. And that's a group of people, as you all know, that's every bit as politically diverse as the province they come from. Different communities, different philosophies, wildly different politics, but we made it work by finding common ground and building trust. I believe politicians in BC have a choice. We can exploit the divisions that naturally exist in our province, or we can bridge them. Gordon Campbell believes in burning bridges, and I believe in building them. By working together, British Columbians can get our province on track. We can build a province that provides new opportunities for people instead of closing doors. A province where everyone is given the opportunity to live up to their potential. And public schools are at the center of that. Public schools are at the center of public life for our families and communities. And government must hold that as a fundamental value. The government approach to education in this province is to download onto local school boards and leave them holding the bag for broken Liberal promises. In the funding vacuum that's then created, school boards are left to look for alternate sources of funding, and in many cases that means privatization schemes to fill in the gap. The Liberals made a decision to move to a funding model based on enrollment, as you know. And even the Liberals knew that such a change would have a drastic effect on local school districts. In response, they created buffer grants, a small amount of money that was going to be used for school boards to cushion the impact of these changes. But let's take a look at the reality. In 2002, they put $25 million in buffer grants to school boards. In 2003, they cut that in half. And this year, nothing is available for schools. School districts are picking up the pieces in a number of ways, and you have borne the brunt of many of those ways. Many of them are looking at privatization schemes. We've seen in the newspaper in the last couple of weeks the fact that school boards are looking at putting cash machines with user fees into many of our schools. And who pays the fees? Our children pay the fees. Some school districts have signed exclusive deals with Coca-Cola and other companies. What we see from the Liberals is a constant downloading of the responsibility for providing education from government to school boards, from school boards to schools, until it finally lands on the backs of children and parents. Privatization is an issue that threatens to divide our province into haves and have-nots. New Democrats are going to make sure that school boards are no longer under the pressure to find funding through privatization schemes because of government neglect. will take responsibility for the contracts we negotiate instead of passing those costs onto the backs of local communities. Our elementary and secondary system should ensure that our young people are fully prepared to take advantage of other opportunities after graduation, and that includes things like a first-class apprenticeship and training model that supports, monitors, and encourages trades trainings and apprenticeships in British Columbia. And that model should include a governing body that represents all the stakeholders involved in training, from industry employers, workers, unions, educators, and government at that table. Government also has to provide adequate resources to ensure that the province can meet the growing demands. Given the crisis right now in post-secondary education caused by the Campbell government, more opportunities have shrunk to fewer. Financial barriers will only increase the shortage we see in trades and other skilled areas in our province. The greatest challenge we face is the opportunity for our young people and others to reach their potential and to obtain further training and education. And it's the growing cost of post-secondary education. That's why we have committed to bring back a tuition freeze in the 2005-2006 year. And we have also committed to providing colleges and universities with funding to offset the cost of such a freeze so they don't pass the costs on to your members and students. At the end of the day, any approach to public education, from kindergarten through to post-secondary, must pass the test of working to expand opportunities for all British Columbians. We have to leave behind the Campbell government's one-sided approach that only helps the most powerful, that squeezes average families, and punishes the most vulnerable. What we need is a balanced and fair approach that puts people's priorities first. In a few short months, British Columbians will be facing a choice between two visions for our province. With your commitment and your work, we are going to put the opportunity for all British Columbians back on the agenda in BC once again. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you.